All right. So today we're going to talk about questioning strategies and reversing. So the point is you understand the importance and details of how to ask questions in order to gather the information needed to make decisions about going forward or not, right? So we talked about an upfront contract. We're disqualifying whether they're moving forward or not. Questioning strategies is how we disqualify them throughout the process. So today we're going to learn about the dummy. Go ahead. It's in the disruptors. Yeah, so that's mine. Got three people in here. One person in here. No one's saying anything though.
One person, is it you?
I don't know. It's who the heck is it? Hey, Layla, can you respond if you can see us? If you can hear us?
It didn't like notify anyone.
Oh, you're live now? I got you live.
You got me?
Oh, real estate disruptors, right?
There you go. Cool. There you go.
Oh, it's like a Steve Chang.
Yeah, you go into the one we do for the podcast. No, this is for the our Facebook group. Yep. Okay. All right, so today we're going to talk about dummy curve theory, dummy phrases, Nancy and the Seagulls, it's the prospect's picture, reasons for the dummy curve, learning to ask questions, rules for reversing, questions you can use, softening statements, unasked questions. And at the end, we're going to be able to explain the dummy curve, listing a few dummy questions or phrases, define reversing, giving examples, and explain why a softening statement is needed. So we're going to start here with the dummy curve, right? So if you look here, the vertical axis is sales, horizontal is knowledge. And what you find is that when you first start in sales, when you're brand new, it's a lot easier to sell because you're asking a lot of questions. Someone asks you a question, like, I don't know the answer to that. So the example that was given in class was the water heater. So this guy comes out of school and he goes to get a job at Kmart or one of those stores. And he doesn't have time to, the manager comes on a day, the manager doesn't have time to train him. He's like, just sit here. And if anybody asks any questions, go help them, right? Old lady comes up, says, hey, I'm looking for a heater. Can you help me? He's like, oh, I think they're over here. And he walks her over and she says, well, what kind of heater should I buy? He's like, I don't know. How big is your house? And she says, 800,000 square feet. He said, okay. And he looks at him and he says, oh, okay, I think this will work for you. And she said, how much is it? He said, I don't know. So he pulls up the box, looks at it, looks for the price. He can't find it on the price. And the lady says, oh, right there, it's on the shelf. It's $89. I said, okay, it's $89. And she says, do you know where can I pay for it? He's like, I think the cashier is right where you walk in through the front door. And he helps her over there. On the way out, she says to the manager, this kid, it's an amazing salesperson, right? Because he was able to get me what I wanted, exactly what I wanted, and it was simple enough, okay? He wasn't necessarily asking a lot of questions, but he wasn't telling her, he wasn't talking about the product or this or that. It was just, this is what I'm looking for, and he got it for her. And we've talked about the sales is a process of helping people find what they want, right? So corporate looks at this, management says, hey, this kid's a rock star. We've got to train him up. You know, he's setting records in our store. So once he sets, they send him over to Texas, train him up for like 5 days, comes back. Now he knows if you want a ceramic heater or an electric heater, gas heater, BTUs, all this stuff that you need to know about heaters, right? And they're like, hey, we're looking for a heater. Oh, you don't want this one. This is the one you want because this one's more efficient. This one's this, one's that. All sorts of product knowledge where clients like, or you know, prospects looking at you like, I don't really know what you're talking about, right? You start throwing out the words like BTUs. What the heck are you saying, right? And so this goes from the dummy to the amateur. And the amateur is when you start talking more than your prospect is. So we know in sales, who's the one that's winning the sales conversation?
Talks the least.
Asking the most questions, right? So once he became the expert, now he's a sales amateur. Now he's talking about the product, overwhelming them with information that they don't need, right? And then and the percentages here is who's talking how much. 70-30, prospect's talking 70, you're talking 30. When you get to amateur, now you're doing all the talking because you're the so-called expert. So you're talking 70% of the time and they're talking 30% of the time. Then, and this is where we're all going in here, you become the sales professional, where you start asking questions versus telling people. So there was a story he was talking about. There was a movie he was watching. It was back when he was a kid, and they were in a jungle, and this guy's walking through, and he's cutting cutting through the jungle with machete, right? And as he's cutting through the machete, he's falling into this pit where he was sinking. It's
quicksand.
And so the point is this, is that we naturally want to help, right? So, I mean, I know what a machete is. I know what quicksand is, right? But people naturally have an inclination to help. So if you go in there as the guy that's like bumbling, then they want to help you. And it goes back to what we talked about last week, okay and not okay. So if you're not okay and they're okay, now they feel bad for you. Now they want to help you, which is kind of crazy, right? Now they want to be the good guy in your story. So professional phase is when you become the professional and you're asking questions versus answering questions. So a couple of key takeaways. Allow the prospect to do 70% of the talking while you only do 30% of the talking. And, you know, we got, what is it? God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth, right? Stick to that. And then you're a genius in your world and an idiot in theirs. Even if you think you know what they want or you think you know what they need, shut up and ask questions, because you may not, right? And the moment you start making incorrect assumptions is when you lose a sale, right? And I think the best example of this is, you know, we got a mix of wholesalers and traditional real estate. Naturally, as a real estate agent, and I was like this way for the longest time, I go in assuming you want the most amount of money. Why wouldn't you want the most amount of money? I wouldn't want the most amount of money, right? But it turns out people are willing to pay a fee, a premium for convenience and so on. So, and then like Carlton's on my team and a couple of guys we've done, Max knows about the VIP program too. Right, we charge buyers more. We charge them 3.5% versus 3%, and that goes back to if we help them discover what they want, then they're willing to pay a premium for it. The other thing too is let them fill in the blanks. You will sell 10 times more as the underdog, and the person talking is the person doing the buying. And it goes back to this curve right here, right? If you're talking 70% of the time, you're buying your product. You're gonna walk out feeling like you got the sale. And they're not going to avoid you, right? We talked about the witness protection program as a client, as a prospect. It's exactly what happens. You're talking more than they are. That's where the prospect's going to disappear. And then the goal here is to seek the truth, not the sale. If you seek the truth, you'll get the sale. But if you're trying to win the sale, that's when you lose the sale. So you want to be curious, not interrogation. And the difference between the two is tone, right? If it's, where were you? What were you doing, right? That's interrogation. It's like, I'm just curious. You know, we had an appointment at 3:00. What happened, right? Same exact conversation, but it's curious versus interrogation. And intent counts more than content. And we talked about this last time, body language, right? Was it the rule 7-38-55. 7% is words, 30% is tone, and 55% is body language. So intent is not what you say, it's how you said it. And in sales, it's it's not what you say, it's how you say it, right? And then we expand it a little bit more here in sales. It's not how you say it, it's how they receive it. Doesn't matter what you say, right? It's what they heard, how they digested it. And then a common way for dummy phrases, I don't know if I can help you. So they're saying, hey, I want you to come over by my house. Can you buy my house? Like, I'm not sure. I'll have to take a look at it. I don't know if I can help you. Right. Versus, yes, absolutely. I'll be right there. The way to get someone to say something, the way to share one of your features and benefits, because we don't sell features and benefits, but a way to bring it up is, can I share with you what some of the clients have said they liked about our service? Can I share with you what some of our past clients have remarked or shared with us, right? So Nancy and the Seagulls, this is a story, I'm probably gonna butcher it. So there was a girl, this is an actual case law that went to California Supreme Court. There was a girl, 8 years old, and she was in art class. And she, the art teacher told her, go draw something that involved plants and life. And so she drew a picture of the ocean, you know, got the water, got the horizon, got all the clouds, right? Everything looks great. And the teacher walks up and says, this looks good, except you're missing a seagull. And so the art teacher draws a seagull on the picture, right? Nancy doesn't like it. She starts crying. Teacher's putting the pen away, and then Nancy kicks the accidentally kicks the easel over, and everything falls over. Teacher loses her mind, sends her, Nancy to the principal's office. Okay? Goes in the principal's office, and she gets in trouble, right? Because she kicked the easel. So she gets home with a letter from dad, or for dad. Dad comes home, why crying, darling? Like, the art piece is all crumpled up, uncrumples it, and says, Nancy, this is a great drawing. I especially love the seagull. Balls out her eyes some more, finally figures out what's going on, takes Nancy to the principal's office with the teacher, and teacher's like, I've been an art teacher for 13 years, I've got this master's degree, this and that, right? And she won't apologize, she won't give up. So dad goes back to work, tells his coworkers. One of the coworkers' brothers an attorney, so naturally lawyers are involved, and you know, none of us love lawyers. But lawyers get involved. This gets brought up all the way to the California Supreme Court. And eventually the judge is sitting there. It's like, why are you guys wasting my time with this? To my chambers, goes in there, talks to Nancy, says, hey, what is the situation here? Why are we, what is wrong here? What's wrong with the seagull? And she said, when I drew the picture, in my mind, there were no seagulls. So that was it. So case won, case awarded to Nancy and her dad. And the screw, I don't know if they got screwed of like a sum or whatever, but they definitely lost, right? And so the point of all of this is that we gotta have the prospect's picture, and we have to stop painting seagulls in their picture. Now, I've struggled with this a lot, because we do a lot of Craig Proctor stuff where we're talking about benefit this, benefit that, benefit this, right? We got like 14, 15 benefits on the buyer presentation and another 5 or 6 on the seller side. So I've struggled with this a little bit on how to adjust our presentation. And the only thing I can think of is, you know, it's probably not that important to you with the kind of marketing we do to sell your home. It's like, oh no, that's important. And then that's an opportunity for us. Like, oh, let me show you what we do for marketing.
Go negative first.
Yeah. So I'm still struggling how we want to consolidate these two different worlds, but it's really critical that you're not adding features and benefits that they're not asking for. So going back to like, no, you don't want an electric heater, you want a gas heater, right? Because electric heater, you might get carbon monoxide poisoning or whatever. It's just all these other things that people don't even care about, right? So want to sell them what they want. If they want to sell their, if they want to heat their home.
Can I bring up the benefits? I guess the way I think brings it up is, hey, other people we've done business with have mm-hmm. found that they have found that, and when they went and did business with us, you know, we worked on their time frame, you know, we were able to pay cash, but I'm not sure if that's going to be a benefit to you.
Yeah, so you bring it up, right? You bring up the negatives, like, okay. Some of our clients have appreciated that we were able to close in the time frame that they wanted and help them with their moving. Is as but that's probably not something that you'd be interested in. Or is that probably not something you're looking for? Oh, no, I want that. All right. So that's how I'm starting to kind of get through this. Like I said before, like, I'm only 2 months into this. I feel like I'm getting my master's degree in sales. So questions you want to ask when you're talking to your clients is, and this again, it goes back right back to never split the difference. What are the two questions we ask? How do we start the question? How and what, right? Is we don't ask necessarily why. So we go, what is an open-ended question? Something that they can respond openly with. How is something they can respond openly with? Why is a very defensive, right? It's, and it goes back to when you were a kid. Why did you? And it's very, we talk about the adult child, parent, different transactional analysis. That's the child, right? You grew up with why did you, and why was never a good question. Who? Who left the TV on? Who spilled this in the kitchen, right? Who let the dogs out? There you go. What kind of question is that? Who? What's that impacting? Who? What are you trying to assign on that? On those two questions? Yeah. Who drank all of Corey's beers? Yeah. Pretty sure it was Corey. So what are you trying to find when you're asking who questions?
Blame.
Who to blame, right? Why questions the victim, and then when? And I'm not trying to get my personal life involved, but every time there's a when question, it's something I procrastinated on. That's something I promised I was going to do that I haven't done yet. So when you're asking, you start a question with when, they start getting defensive, right? When is this going to get done? When are you going to get started in this? Why haven't you started the taxes yet? These are, see, every year question. So, again, it's the prospect's picture. Is this all making sense? You guys have questions about this? No? Okay. So, individual with sharp people skills and a good understanding of the Sandler system will outproduce anyone with strong technical skills any day. So, the real challenge for you to learn both. You want to master the product without talking about the product. So, Brad, my trainer, says you want to be a product of the product. So, no buzzwords. We talked about this last week. We don't do comps. It's not what the comps say. It's not what the MLS says. It's not, I'm not going to do a CMA for you. Yeah, your ARV, my LTV, my MAO. My MAO is just not going to work for you, Max. Right? So MAO is maximum allowable offer.
Yeah.
Okay. So
MOP.
What do you call?
MOP, maximum offer price.
Yeah. So you don't use these keywords because if I say, so you weren't here last week, so I'm going to pick on you.
Do it.
All right. So Corey. What can you tell me about the UFC?
About the fighters who kick you to the ass is all you call.
That is one thing, right? So, but everyone else here probably knows is the upfront contract. Like, did you give them the UFC upfront, or did you give them the UFC? But now, because I asked you a question, or I threw on something that you're like, I'm uncomfortable, and once you start asking in your head, what's the UFC? Why is he asking me that? What happened? What did I miss? Did he say something earlier? Am I being dumb? Now I'm not getting the sale, right? Because now he feels uncomfortable and he doesn't know why he's uncomfortable. All he knows is that I'm around when he feels uncomfortable. So he doesn't want to do business with me. Does that click?
Yeah.
So no buzzwords. And then I don't know if this is true, but this is what Brad said in our class, dumb. So like that salesperson was dumb. That was a dumb presentation, whatever. Historically, apparently, dumb stood for something. You guys ever heard of this? So don't understand my business. So this guy came in, he gave a presentation, but he's just dumb, right? So I don't know if that's true. That's what he said in class. But the other thing too is your situation is unique. So I've gone to, I've been doing Craig Proctor around 7-8 years now. And every time there's a new guy, it's like, yeah, that probably won't work in my market. No, that wouldn't work in where I'm from. And you see it in wholesaling, right? Wholesaling houses full time. Oh, this won't work in your market. This won't work in my market. And that's them. If you go in there and you don't address this up front, you will miss the sale. So what you want to address up front is, hey, I know your home is a little bit different than the other homes in the neighborhood, right? Because we talked about Brian Buffin, the blue sky. Like if you step outside the house at 3 o'clock, this guy's a little bit bluer over my house. You guys haven't all gone through the Buffini training. Anyway, so he calls it the blue sky effect, right? Is the sky is just a little bit bluer over my house. That's why my house is worth 15,000 more than my next door neighbors. That was the same exact floor plan, same exact kitchen. Everything else, just a little bit bluer. So how you go against this is you walk in and say, hey, Mr. Seller, I understand your situation is a little bit different, or your home's a little bit different than your neighbor's. We just address it up front before we go through the rest of the presentation, where we go through, not the presentation, go through the consultation. Does that make sense?
Yeah. We're saying that like in a neutral way, because we ain't saying it's bad.
Not bad, not bad, not good. Just, hey, your situation is different. And so now, when I talk to agents, your situation is a little bit different than everyone else's. And it's true, everyone's situation is different, right? But now I say that, oh, he understands me, right? So that was the first rule, no buzzwords. Second rule, don't spill your candy in the lobby. Anybody have any idea what that could mean? Kind of, right? So we've got our gatekeeper. Of course, not here anymore, but she used to be here. Summer was probably the best at this.
Yeah.
You walk in, home warranty, lender, sorry, Peter. Lender, home insurance, alarm systems, whatever crap you're selling. You walk in, she'd say, what's this about? Steve's not here, Steve's busy, whatever. But it's always, what is this about? And if you start talking about, well, my home warranty company is better because our price is this. What have you done? Spilled your candy in the lobby, right? Jesse, this probably will be more helpful for you. When we're calling clients, we found a property, or we want to get them excited, we want a return phone call. It's, hey, Jesse, I've got some great news. I found a property. Based on everything you told me, I think this can be the house for you.
Call me.
Hey,
check out 1234 West.
Yeah. Hey, I just sent you an email with the property. I think it's going to be great for you. If you can click on it and let me know if you like it or not. Are you getting a call back?
No.
Not getting a call back. Right? So you got to leave that excitement. You got to leave that little uncertainty. So what we get paid for is the information, not the information that we give, but the information we collect. Right? If I walk in, all right, so Carlton's, I think, the only one in our office has got an 8% listing. Okay? Shut up, Max. You're ruining the presentation. You're ruining the training, Max. So you walk in and say, all right, I can sell your house, but it's going to be 8%. Is that going anywhere?
No.
Right? Or before I get the appointment, how much you charge? 6%. Are we going anywhere? Are we doing a deal? Are we doing a transaction together?
Nope.
Nope. We're already talking about cost. Can you make three more copies of this, please?
Yeah, I'm at three.
Three. So you want to find out how bad it hurts, and you want to get commitments first. So one of the examples is, let's say it's rainy out here. I come out on a green light, and someone can't stop in time. I get T-boned, right? Arm is broken, maybe bleeding a little bit. How worried am I going to be about how much this is going to cost for the ambulance? Not worried, right? It's like, I don't give a shit how much it costs. Give me the freaking hospital.
Yeah.
Right? Versus, how do I put this in context? That what we do, there's no immediate pain. There's pain indicators, but there's no immediate pain. And we go in there and we haven't explored their pain. Explore why they're talking to you, why they're trying to get a cash offer, or why they're trying to sell their house with you, and you start giving pricing. Yeah, you're gone, right? How long have you been doing the wholesale?
Over a year.
Over a year. Yeah. Have you, before you even gone in the kitchen or living room, said what you were willing to pay?
No, absolutely not.
No.
My offer is the last thing.
Right. It's the last thing you talk about.
My one piece of leverage that I have to offer.
Right.
My offer. My leverage.
Have you ever disclosed the commission like in the first 5 minutes?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have disclosed commission over the phone if I saw there was no appointment happening. Like if this person wasn't going to meet with me until I gave this over the phone, and I think I'd be better at fighting that, but those are the only instances, right? And we talk about cash offers over the phone. Like if we're not going to get the appointment, this is what we're willing to offer. And it's still dead, but
yeah. You
never know.
Phone appointment as you would if you were there in person.
What's that?
You treat the phone appointment as though you were there in person.
Yeah.
I'll walk around the whole sales process exactly how I would
right.
In person.
Exactly.
In faith, you know, build it down.
Yeah. But that's the last thing you give up. Don't paint seagulls in your prospect's pictures. So again, no features and benefits until they've indicated they wanted that feature or benefit. And then learn all you can about the product or service, just don't tell them about it. And it's not just knowing your product and service, but also knowing the competitors' products and service. So, you know, you go, you know, Open Door is our big challenger right now for everyone in here. And it's, hey, it's not a big deal, right? You want to go with them. When they go to title and the amount you get is less than what they told you, what did they say about that when you asked them about that? Like, right, you're inserting doubt. When you went to sign, you know, when you're moving to Alabama and they beat you up on your inspection because it's gonna cost them $8,000 to replace your toilet, like, how would that make you feel? So we know about their product. We're not outwardly bashing the product. We're just asking questions, you know, poking some holes, jabbing a little bit, right? And then, so reasons for the dummy curve, defense against unpaid consulting. We don't want to give advice for free. And I know, I would imagine everyone here has been guilty of it. I've 100% been guilty of it. Carlton and I have had, I think, more than one discussion about this, is they're listed with somebody else. And say, Steve, what would you do differently? And before I was like, I would do this. Here's what I would do. I would do the price of this, this, and this. And then lo and behold, you did the work for the other agent. Right, they took your information and they did it on that listing. So now it's, I don't know if I can help you. It'd be a violation of my code of ethics if I were to give you information. So what we'll have to do is, once you agree to cancel the other party, then I'd be happy to go over with you what we do to sell your home. Show you how we sell for more. Right. But unpaid consulting is what we run into. We talked about the buyer-seller dance. Buyers asking a lot of questions, trying to get as much information from you as possible, and run away and hide, right? We want to resist that as much as possible. So too much information at the beginning may end the sale before it begins. You guys might have seen the Darren Hardy, I want to say like 2-3 weeks ago, where he's talking about how he met a guy, and I was talking about how he was molested as a child, and this and that, you remember that? Like in the first 10 minutes of meeting the guy, he's talking about all these emotional problems that he has, which, you know, it sucks, right? Well, our friend Justin, remember him?
Oh yeah.
Right, you first met him and it hasn't even been an hour yet, and he's talking about his divorce and how he was kicked out and this and that, and it's like, yeah, it's Facebook Live, whatever. It sucks, right? I'm sorry this happened to you, and maybe if we have been friends for like a month, we can start talking about this. But you start talking too early.
I knew him for 17 minutes.
Yeah, it starts getting weird. Gathering information, you want to know what the prospect wants before you tell him what you have. You want to know why he wants it before you tell him what you have. So going back to a cash offer, hey, you know, I want to give you a cash offer. Before I can even tell you what we can do to help you, it'll help me to understand what's going on, reasons for selling, and so on, right? Until you have that pain and they feel that pain, you don't give them solutions.
Deal killers.
So I think I've talked to some of you guys before. What do you think percent is emotional? What percent is intellectual as far as purchasing decisions?
80.
Yeah.
That is definitely the higher emotional.
70-30?
Bigger the purchase, the more emotional involved.
Okay, so it's 100%.
Well.
So I like to think I'm pretty sharp, but can I can't give you one actual good reason to have a Tesla. Can't give you one. I mean, I can argue safety, right? It's a safer car. Volvo makes a pretty safe car. All right, Mercedes makes a pretty safe car. I can't give you any reason why we have a Tesla, but we do.
You want it.
We have it. Yeah. So there's no good reason for it, right? So there's, no matter how intellectual you think you are, there is an emotional, there's an emotional reason for doing that. So stop selling features and benefits. You should be focusing on prospects' issues versus your product knowledge to make a